All right. So there's this passage of scripture that I'm sure everybody in here is very familiar with, because let me tell you the reason, and it's kind of a sad reason, but at the same time, there's good to it. But you're typically familiar with this passage because a lot of people use it at funerals. Does anyone know which passage I'm referring to? It's one of the most popular passages used at funerals. Someone just got it. Psalm 23. So we're gonna read some of Psalm. We're gonna read all of Psalm 23 this morning. And if you've never read Psalm 23, well, we're gonna read it right now. My daughter has this memorized. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This particular text has a whole bunch in it, but it's things we may not even be able to really relate to today, because in the culture that this was written, people knew what shepherds were. It was a day-to-day thing, encountering a shepherd. When was the last time you were face-to-face with a shepherd? You haven't been for a while, have you? Maybe your whole life? I've actually never met a shepherd. But what is fascinating about this Jesus that we talk about week by week, he says, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. So as the shepherd, that has significance. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd does a lot of different things, but sheep also do a lot of different things as well. Now, if we have sheep, we need a shepherd, because the shepherd protects the sheep, right? Because sheep can get into some big trouble. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I want to read a couple of passages here. This comes from John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Did you know a good shepherd will go out and fight for his sheep to protect his sheep? An example would be in the scriptures where David is a shepherd when he's a young shepherd boy, and a lion approaches and he slays a lion, a bear, whatever it may be, and he is a good shepherd. He protects the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. He didn't die for the sheep. David didn't. But he was ready to die for the sheep to protect them. So I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus talking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:1. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. All right, you know, we don't have any idea what this is really talking about, I'm sure. All right, a sheepfold. Back then they would have, if they had a home, some of them would have near their home, they would build up stones, and they would have one entrance to that where all the sheep would gather, so they would protect the sheep. Or they would put them in a cave, and they would have the one entrance to the cave, and a gatekeeper or a shepherd would stand there, and the sheep would know the shepherd or the gatekeeper's voice, because the voice of the shepherd was known, because the shepherd spent a lot of time since that sheep was first born, and the sheep would get to know the shepherd's voice. Come on, let's go. If you have a dog, you would know that if you call it, hey, here, come here, whatever your dog's name is, right? And the dog comes. But the sheep would know the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd gained the respect. This sounds weird, but gained the respect of the sheep and the admiration of the sheep, and the sheep would be like, wow, this is a great guy. I want to follow that shepherd, because he has the voice of the shepherd, and it is the shepherd, and he's going to protect me, and he's going to care about me, and I'm going to be okay. So let's go with the shepherd. The thief, what am I doing? All right. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So the thief comes in, and the thief's purpose is to kill and destroy and to... Now, who's ever been robbed? Been robbed? We got robbed twice when I grew up. Our house got broken into. The first time, my sister came home, the door was open, and she walked in, and stuff was everywhere. And if you don't know my mom, she's very neat, so that wouldn't be the case. So my sister walks in, and stuff's thrown everywhere. And the microwave is gone. So what does she do? She gets on the phone, calls my aunt, and says, "Did you take our microwave?" But she didn't take the microwave. That microwave was stolen. This was when microwaves were kind of rare, and my brother had given a microwave as a gift to my mother, and it was a pretty big deal. So the microwave was gone, and all sorts of stuff was thrown around the house, and the police came, and all that stuff. But the thief didn't come to just look around, did he? The thief came to steal, to pillage, to find whatever he could find and take it, or she, right? Some of them come in and they kill, right? There's some thieves that come in and they have their gun with them or they have their knife with them and they don't care. If someone's in the house, they don't care. And they'll just get rid of them and then move on and take whatever they want to take. But it says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Did you know the enemy? And you may say, there's no such thing as the devil or Satan. That's just something human beings made up. Well, there is. And the devil, the enemy, the deceiver, comes and tries to manipulate things in order for us to go on a path we shouldn't go, to go in a direction we shouldn't go. But Christ has come to give a rich and satisfying life. And it's not talking about being rich and being satisfied. It's talking about a spiritually rich and satisfying life. There's a difference there. A lot of people say they're spiritual. But what is spirituality anyway? What does that even mean? What does that even look like? It's not just saying I'm spiritual and I'm in touch with the Mother Earth and all this stuff, right? No, when we are connected deeply with the God that has saved us, this God we just talked about, the resurrected Jesus, when we're connected with him and we discover him, we discover this powerful transformation that begins to take place in some hugely significant ways. And some may be sitting here going, you know what? I can't stand when I go to a church and they talk about Jesus. Why don't they just talk about God? Because God is so much more general. And God, the word God or the higher being, is more politically correct, right? Well, Jesus isn't politically correct, because a lot of people would say Jesus was just a man. But Jesus was not just a man. That's why we're here, because Jesus wasn't just a man. He walked as a man, but he was also 100% God. And you may say, how can someone be 100% God and 100% human? It doesn't make any logical sense. Well, he's God. But he had the human temptations and all the other things that went with being a human being. And what was so significant about that is what happened with that is because Jesus came and walked among us and died and then rose and then ascended, the impact that has on us is that we can live a rich and satisfying life. From a spiritual perspective, our lives can be rich and satisfying and beautiful. But a lot of us aren't living like that. A lot of us aren't discovering the beauty and the satisfaction that comes through living a life that is surrendered and devoted and committed to Christ. And the reason why is because of what sheep do. There's four characteristics of a sheep. Have you ever thought of this? All right. There's four challenges of being a sheep. Sheep A sheep gets lost, right? Sheep get lost. They get lost easily. They wander off. They don't know what they're doing. They just go wander around. The next thing is, sheep are defenseless. Sheep are very stubborn. And finally, sheep are filthy. I've been around sheep. I don't hang out with sheep often. Actually, I kind of do, don't I? Because we are sheep who need to be called, or are called by the shepherd. But, all right, so some would say, what do you mean I'm lost? What do you mean I'm defenseless? What do you mean I'm stubborn? What do you mean I'm filthy? How dare you say that about me? How dare you say I'm lost, defenseless, stubborn, and filthy? You're a mean man. We are. When before we come to Christ, we are lost. And you may say, no, I'm cool. I'm a spiritual person. I'm in touch with my spirituality. Well, what we often do is we create our own spirituality, and we make it all up, and we define ourselves by whatever we make up to be spiritual, and we call ourselves spiritual. But when we're lost, we can call ourselves spiritual, but we're still lost. Because the only way we're found is to be found by the shepherd. Those who are lost, if you hear my voice, you know, come to me. Come to me, all those that are weak and heavy laden, for I will give them rest. So, lost. We need to be found. If we're lost, we need to be found. When I was a kid, I was on the Cape Cod Canal. My grandfather lives down that way in Bourne. And I decided to take my bike. I think I was 8 years old. I decided to get on my bike and just ride. Nobody knew where I was going. I just rode. So I rode and rode and rode and rode and rode. And then I found this campsite, kind of a historic place where Native Americans had built their camp. And I decided to hang out there for a long time. So I started hearing, Colby! Like just up and down the canal. And I would not answer. I refused to answer the call. So I sat and hid under a... They had this old building that was raised up on bricks, and I slid under there, and I hid under there, and I hid my bike in the woods. So I'm hiding under there, and I was hearing the call, Colby! Colby! And I'm like, I'm not getting out of here. I know I'm in big trouble now. So I'm just hiding under there. I'm hiding under there. And finally, the shouting stopped because they must have gone down the other end of the canal or something. And I decide, you know what, I'm going to pedal back, and I'm going to pretend I never left. So I rode my bike back, and I turned to look at my grandfather's place, because I was going to go there. Guess what I saw? Four police cars were at his house. And I just pedal up, and they're like freaking out. Oh, what are you doing? Where were you? Really freaking out. And I come out, this was at the time Adam Walsh, some of you may remember that time, it was a huge deal. It's really when all this, the child kidnappings, all that stuff came up, and so it was a really big deal. And I just pulled up, I'm like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and I pedal my bike up, and where were you? And my mother grabs me, where were you? You know, and my aunt and uncles are freaking out. And anyway, I was lost. I didn't really know I was lost. But I wasn't I? I knew where to go, but I didn't really know where to go. Because I didn't know how to make the decision. I didn't know how to make the choice. I didn't know how to go in the proper direction that I needed to go in order to be found, because I needed to be found. I really did. But I didn't really comprehend that I was lost. And it wasn't just according to others. It was according to me, because I made myself lost on purpose, because I deceived myself into thinking a lie. Do you know what the lie was? That I was in trouble. I deceived myself into thinking that I was in the right spot hiding, when in reality, I needed to be open in order to go to where I needed to be to be found. I think some of us live our lives like that. We continually deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay and we've got our act together and we're spiritually cool because we've created our own spirituality. But in reality, I'm still lost, even though in my intellect I have created this sense of spirituality. I need the shepherd because realistically I'm defenseless. And you may say, I'm not defenseless. I'm smart. I'm highly intellectual. I've got my act together. I got an amazing career. I got an amazing man or woman. I've got everything's together. All my ducks are in a row. Well, we're still defenseless to the enemy, who is Satan. As far as he can manipulate us. And even when we're believers, we can be manipulated and connived and turn in a direction contrary to him, leading to stubbornness, right? So there's this stubbornness. And then we're filthy. What makes us filthy?
Sin.
Sin makes us filthy. And that is a word that society doesn't like, the word sin. That is a three-letter word that society does not appreciate. How dare you say I'm sinful? I'm a good person. Have you ever heard that? I remember I had a family member say this to me. Because I said, you know, I'm a sinful man. I'm in need of a Savior. And he said to me, he said, you don't have any sins. What are you talking about? You haven't murdered anybody. You haven't, went through this list. And I said, you have no idea what I've done or haven't done or what I've thought or haven't thought. I said, you don't know my thoughts. My thoughts, I don't have great thoughts, beautiful thoughts like I'm supposed to. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. If anybody in here is perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. None of us. Not even one of us. So because we're filthy, because we're sinful, we need the shepherd. And the shepherd, what does the good shepherd do? We've got to ask ourselves, what does the good shepherd do anyway? What does he do? What is the point of the good shepherd? And here are some. He guides. The good shepherd guides. We're in a world that anything goes. As long as you don't hurt somebody, it's okay. Right? Anything goes. But he guides. And he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You're once going down the wrong path, but he guides down the right path for his name's sake. The gatekeeper, remember that, the stone built around and there's this one entrance and the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. And the sheep recognizes his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because what do? They know his voice. Do you know the good shepherd's voice? Are you being guided by the good shepherd? Or are you being guided by your own personal thoughts and agenda and purpose and the direction you want to go because it's right for you in your life? Or are you being guided by the God that says, no, that seems right, but this is actually right. That seems like the right path, but this is actually the right path because the deceiver manipulates and connives things and manipulates them in such a way that it seems like the right path because it says in the scriptures that he disguises himself as an angel of light. Disguises himself as an angel of light. He also provides. So he provides. And part of that provision, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul or restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, right? When things are crazy and bizarre, he leads me beside quiet waters. He leads us to places that we we may not be able to get to on our own. I've done a lot of funerals, a lot of memorial services, and I typically don't even use this particular passage of scripture. But one of the reasons it's used is because of this particular section of the text. Because people are going through such a traumatic time, and if you've ever lost somebody, it is hugely traumatic. And it's painful. And it's confusing. But the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You may say, well, yeah, actually, I lack this, 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 this. I really want this, and, you know. But that's not what I'm talking about or the Bible's talking about here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, there's this peace that comes that surpasses anything our human minds can comprehend. This huge peace in the midst of the most troubling times. People would be able to look at your life and go, how can they be so peaceful in the midst of this very troubling time? I've never seen anybody deal with that situation like that. I hope and I pray that when people look at our lives, when we go through tragedy and difficulty, that they can reflect on our lives and go, do you remember when such and such? Do you remember when they were like that during that time? I don't know how they did it. Let's call them. Hello. You know, wouldn't that be cool if someone decides to call you because they remembered how you dealt with a certain situation and they're in it and they don't know how to deal with it? He corrects. The shepherd corrects. Blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise. All right, this is going to be hard for some of us, for most of us to hear. Because maybe we'll bypass this particular one. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. Job 5, 17 through 18. We can say that Job is somebody that went through the most traumatic, tragic time in human history. He lost everything that you could ever think of in his life. His family, his friends, his health. He's on the verge of death, sitting in a pit, buck naked, in ashes, mourning. He had nothing. He even says, naked I came into this world and naked I will return. Whoa. Have you ever been there? But this is a call out because sometimes God allows us to go through tragedy. And in the midst of the tragedy, it can be turned into triumph. Do you know when a sheep wanders off? This sounds really weird. When a sheep wanders off, and it keeps wandering off over and over. The shepherd sometimes takes a little nick, cuts its leg, gets a little cut on it, and it's wounded. And the shepherd takes it and puts it on his shoulders and carries it back to the fold and nurses it, takes care of it, and heals the wound. You see how it says? So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. So the shepherd will take the wound, and he will bind it up and heal it up, and the sheep will be restored, but he also binds up. He injures, but he hands also healing. His hands are full of healing. You may have a non-physical wound. You may have emotional wounds that nobody can see, but you know they're there. You know the pain and hurt that you have. And those emotional wounds and that emotional baggage that you've carried for years that you don't tell anybody about. Or maybe you do tell people, but you just don't know how to deal with them. See, he binds up and he has healing hands. It's by his wounds that we are healed. So there's this powerful healing. God allows some tragedy to happen in our lives. Some people think when they become believers that there's never going to be any difficulty or tragedy or struggle. It doesn't say that. You will have troubles of many kinds, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You ready to believe? Right? That's kind of, whoa, wait. So if I'm a believer, I'm still going to have troubles? That doesn't sound fair. I thought everything was supposed to be great and perfect and beautiful. It's this huge change in perspective. I once thought like this, but now I think like this. I once had this path, now I'm on this path. I once was going this way, but now I'm following the way. So part of, he corrects, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. When you're a kid growing up and you got disciplined, did you enjoy it? I don't think so. Nobody enjoys discipline, but it's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Do you understand that some of the life struggles and pains and hurts that we have in life, when someone that we love goes through difficult times or when we go through difficult times, a lot of times we question, why would God allow this to happen? But ultimately, see what it says? After we go through the pain, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. See, there's this training that happens in life when we go through tragedy. Often it allows us to be refined and to be people that we could never, ever be apart from that training, that refining. And when we go through that refining, a lot of times that enables us to impact the lives of other humans in profound ways. And he protects. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's read verse 6 together. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no one, for you are with me. I'm a sheep, and I'm saying, surely you're with me. See, the valleys, when a shepherd would take his sheep into the valleys are a dangerous place. There can be bandits. There can be animals that are hiding there. There's all sorts of things that happen in the valley. Some of us are in our lives right now are in the valley. There's all sorts of whacked out stuff that can go on in the valley. But it says that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, fear no one, for God is with me, for he is with me. The shepherd's with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod can whack a wolf in the mouth. Bam! Can knock it out. It protects the sheep. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. The staff is also used to pull the sheep back in the fold, right? So I take that staff and I pull the sheep back in. And come on, buddy, come with me, right? And that's part of the protection that God has for us. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. All right? Talking to, let's think, we're all shepherds, right? And this is the mentality. Loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. You may be a lost sheep. You may be a lost sheep that is in need of the good shepherd. And the good shepherd's probably been calling out to you for many years. And you're like, whatever. You know, I don't know about this. I don't know about a good shepherd. I don't think I'm going to follow the good shepherd because I have my own spirituality. But it's not about our own spirituality. It's about true spirituality. It's about truly discovering a God who enables us to go after, he goes after the lost sheep. And maybe one of us is this lost sheep. Maybe we've wandered from the fold. Maybe we've gone out and we are caught in a briar patch. Maybe you're caught in this briar patch and all the thorns are sticking into you and you're like, I can't do this anymore. Bah, right? That was a really weak bah, wasn't it? But we're stuck in the patch of briars and we need the shepherd to come and get us out and to help and heal our wounds. Only you know where you are. Let's close our time in prayer. And you may need to pray to receive the blessing of the good shepherd in your life, in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for allowing us to be here. God, I just ask that if there's anybody in here, Lord, that needs to call out to you as the good shepherd, God, I ask that they would spend some time just saying, God, I surrender to you and I commit to you. Lord, may today be the day that the good shepherd is embraced. That this Jesus who, yes, is talked about and sometimes we read about, but Lord, maybe we haven't fully embraced. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I embrace you today. If you believe this and you want to receive Christ today as your Lord and your God, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I pray to receive you as my God and my Lord and my Savior right now, as the Good Shepherd. And I pray for your healing upon my life and believe that it's by your wounds that I'm healed, that your blood was shed on Calvary on that tree, you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, that you rose from the grave and conquered death. So I don't have to face it eternally. And I embrace you today. And I believe you today. And I want to follow you today. Because you are the good shepherd. You desire to restore my soul. And I just ask God that I will discover that restoration, Lord. That my heart and mind will be open to you today. And be filled with your peace and your power. In your presence. Lord, move in me right now and fill me to overflow. In the name and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.